ください。
Ready to laugh out loud with Wise and Nerdy, the show hosted by two hilarious dads who bring their unique blend of wit, wisdom, and nerdiness to the airwaves. From sharing hilarious anecdotes about their own experiences to giving advice on navigating the ups and downs of life, these two dads have got you covered. But that's not all. They're also obsessed with all things nerdy, from comic books and sci-fi movies to video and board games. So whether you're a fellow dad, a pop culture fanatic, or just in need of a good laugh, this is Wise and Nerdy. And now, let's have some fun.
I felt very, very Kermit the Froggy there. As I was doing back before I look over, I was like, yeah! About the show! All right. Hey, Dennis is not here tonight, so we don't have Kermit on. Hey, Joe, how's it going this evening?
Good. How are you?
Good. For the new listeners, I'm the Rock God Podcast and Charles McFall. That is Embrace the Underscore. Joard.
Joard.
Yeah, and we may have a random grandpa wandering through every once in a while this evening. We never know. You never know when Rando Grando is coming in.
So, Rando Grando.
Yeah, I just made that up. You like that one?
Yep.
The question of the week.
So my first question of the week is, why do I keep forgetting to tell you this is Wise and Nerdy, where Fatherhood Meets Fandom. It's the best show ever. And we're here to help you find your fam. Dom? No?
Fam? No. Dom?
Question mark. All right, now the question of the week. Joe, if you could shop for free at one store, which one would you choose and why?
All right. Does it have to be brick and mortar or can it be an online store?
Either way.
Because, okay, so if it's got to be, if it can be either, it's got to be Amazon. I mean, you can find like anything on Amazon, right?
All right,
I mean,
so brick and mortar.
You can even buy $30,000 tiny houses on Amazon now.
This is true. So, okay, let's take that out of the thing. I'll allow you Apple. Let's do brick and mortar.
Okay. Then it's got to be Costco. The variety there is huge. There you can find electronics, food, sheds. I mean, I can have as many sheds as you've got if I can shop at Costco for free.
I find that hard to believe.
Let Rando Grando showed up. It's awesome.
It's, you know, it's Thursday and I got to get my wife.
We know to it's sleep. Thursday. We show up every Thursday.
Yep.
So the question is, if you could shop for free at one store, which one would you choose? Now, we did say some brick and mortar because Joe didn't want me to make my OnlyFans joke. So, but if I had to go brick and mortar, your face, Joe, is again. Oh my God.
I didn't know you liked box fans that much.
Yes, you did.
That only sells fans.
I carry a fan in my car practically all the time. I do not go to any hotel without it.
That's true.
So, yes, you did. Box, that's a hard one. I like your idea of a Costco because it is variety. You get some food, you get different things. But it's kind of generic. I mean, you're not getting specialty stuff. But I thought at first, my first instinct for me was Best Buy. But then I went, well, no, you know what? I'm not building a bit. I'm being serious. It would just get old because I used to love electronics all the time. I just wanted the newest tablet, the newest phone. But now that I'm CTO for my sister ambulance company, LifeCare, and I've had to onboard 50 plus tablets, iPads, and 50 plus Samsung new tablets, and I have to carry one of each phone all the time, I just don't like tech that much anymore. So I don't know. It'd be hard for me to pick a good store because I think it would get old. But I guess because I like nicer things, IKEA.
Here's the thing. IKEA is a great answer. I was actually going to say you guys aren't being creative enough.
All right, what's your creative?
The Lego store.
But IKEA
is a great landing. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no kidding, right? IKEA is a great answer, as is Brookstone.
I forgot Rando Grando. Brookstone. Yeah, Brookstone's where you have to be 60 or older to get the magazine. And then. Oh, that is wait, wait, no. That's Harriet Carter, isn't it, Kurt?
That's Harriet Carter. That's Harriet Carter / Carol Wright.
Yes! I used to love the catalogs.
/ Dr. Johnson's. I think that's the other one. Same type of thing. It's all the same company, I think.
So if you had Brookstone, would every chair in your house be a massage chair at that point?
Oh yes. Oh yes. Yep. Yeah, a reclining massage chair.
You know, honestly, it's hard. I think we really hit on the real ones if you had to think about it. But one of the things I could go for is a store I like is DXL because it does nice clothes for bigger guys, but they're pricier. But I just went on a little bit of a shopping venture there. We spent a couple $100, between $200 and $300, but I got 6 or 7 really nice shirts and some shorts and other things to go with it. And, because I dress up for work, I wear button ups and polos and whatnot. So I don't know. It's hard for me not to get really specific because I don't go clothes shopping. So if I could just go to DXL and pick out a new shirt, that actually might be more valuable to me than IKEA. Because, you know, you missed the grumpy pants screw my kids story before the Patreon. So do you want to change your answer, Joe?
No, I like my answers.
You like Costco, and his first answer was Amazon. Kurt, like, okay, no internet, no more box fans. And
honestly, no more Amazon. Honestly, Costco, that's a cop out choice.
I mean, it's a pretty vanilla answer. You're right; it's not out of the box.
I'm ashamed of you, Joe.
Grandpappy said he was ashamed of me.
Roll that dice.
Oh.
Bad dad jokes.
Starting off strong. Kurt, just for you, Charles.
Kurt, I won't distract you guys. Forget that. Kurt, so see what you're nerding out about. Just got one question. Is he dead? And nobody knows, right?
Wait. Did you say he?
You're nerding out too much.
All right. What? So what,
I haven't even started it yet.
Roll the dice. Let's go.
Oh, he already rolled the dice.
No, roll the dice. Let's go.
Waka waka, bad dad jokes.
Oh, Charles. Why did the Mexican take medication?
It's about time you called your dad.
Charles, why did the Mexican take his medication?
We're gonna get canceled
for his panic attacks.
Hispanic attacks.
Wow, you had to explain it.
Now, Joe, you know I like a good bad dad joke, right?
Yep,
that's an oxymoron,
and that was not one.
I got you, Kurt. I got you, Kurt. Why did Sally's ice cream melt?
Because it was hot.
Because she was on fire. Why?
Why was she on fire?
Because it's horrible. Why did Billy drop his ice cream?
Because she was on fire.
Because he got hit by the fire truck.
Ouch.
Bad daddy.
Now roll the dice.
I should have called in sick.
Let daddy decide.
Which is, how do I be safe on the internet? And the first recommendation I have is don't be friends with Charles because you'll never be safe on the internet.
Well, my first recommendation is teach your kid how to say the right thing.
It's a trick question. You can't be safe on the internet.
Yeah.
The way to be the safest, to keep your computer safe, is to unplug it from the internet.
Yep. Yeah. Side B, you can't really be safe on Safari. The best way to be safe on Safari is don't go on Safari.
Right.
Not the browser, actually in Africa with lions and stuff.
That's true. It's not the computer that's the problem. It's the internet.
It's the people, Kurt. Let's be real. It's the people on the internet.
And our AI overlords.
Those AI overlords. Charles loves the AI overlords.
You think I'm not the AI overlord, which is what's funny. So, Joe, come on. This is your segment, baby. Let's go. This is where you pick the pedal on the right and you hit a little
Joe bit came more. Prepared. He came prepared with one line. Unplug your computer from the internet.
I will tell you, I've had to have the talk with my all my kids, with my boys specifically. And I've had to say, look, with the way technology is, I can't stop you from getting on the internet. We'll tell you if you have questions about anything, you need to come talk to me. And let this be tattooed in your brain forever. What has been seen can never be unseen.
That is true.
So you better think twice, three times. And don't ever, of course, the basics of security. Never click a link. Never click an ad. Don't download stuff that looks stupid. And I mean, you know, cheap. I've taught them how to see cheap, quick ripoff apps versus actual bad game apps. You know, there's dumb games, but they're still legit apps. But Joe, you said recently you just had the talk with Kelsey to help her out. So what'd you tell her?
I was Kelsey with my kids. So I had to have a talk with them because they were on a website and they clicked about and a pop-up came up that was very much not kid appropriate. And so we had a talk about only going to websites. Basically, for now, it's only websites that mom and dad approve of.
Yeah.
And to never click the ads. If there are any, like on YouTube, there are ads. Never click the ads, regardless of what they are. I don't care if it's an ad. And I mean, Facebook and YouTube and stuff get a bunch of fake ads that claim to be like Mr. Beast, for instance. And he's like, we'll give you $1,000 and we're doing a giveaway, you know, and that's not how Mr. Beast operates. He doesn't do that kind of thing. If he's going to do a giveaway, he does it on a video. And so, yeah, to basically only go to the websites that mom and dad approve of and don't click on ads. And that can be extrapolated to general knowledge instead of just my kids. Only go to websites that you trust and don't like. If you get, like, for instance, if you get an email and it's your bank's, it's your bank saying that you need to log in and correct something ASAP, don't click any links in the email.
We covered that an hour ago. Don't click links.
Yeah, and if you, but if you are worried about it possibly being real, because you know sometimes your bank will email you, go to the web browser and type your bank's name directly and log in, or call them and say, hey, I got this email. Is that a legit email? Because usually they have some kind of an interactions log on your account that they can check and say, hey, yeah, no, that really was from us. You do have something flagged on your account or whatever. And definitely never trust any Nigerian princes.
Well, I know Naru, he's all right, but yeah, I'm glad you mentioned pop-ups, because that's, I forgot to mention that, but that's one of the first things I taught my kids, even to the point where a legit pop-up came up the other day. They stopped what they're doing and brought it to me and said, hey, we're not sure about this. I wasn't actually sure about it at first either. Rylan was trying to put in a Google gift card that his mama got him, and it was popping up a weird message. So, but what about you, Kurt? What if you had to teach people?
Yeah. So, there's a couple different ways on this because, as you guys know, I do IT during the day. That's my day job. And so we have to constantly instruct our end users, you know, the people that we do IT for, on what not to click on and how not to click. And how to identify fake emails, because the emails are getting better. And frankly, we joked about AI a little while ago. The phishers, P-H-I-S-H, the phishers are using AI to actually make grammatically correct emails now that actually look like real emails.
Yeah.
So, because it used to be that if they spelled computer with a zero, you knew it was bad.
They'd say, all your base belonged to us.
Okay, no, exactly.
I know it's not right.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's that aspect of things. But with regards to the kids, I will tell you, like, I was a very early adopter of getting the kids their own desktop computers really early on. And I had parental software installed. And I still think that's a smart way to go. If you can put in a firewall at home with whitelist and blacklist options, lock it down and then whitelist what you think they need to go to or should be allowed to go to. That also can cut down on the ads. It can cut down on just misclicks and bad, you know, and literally I would put a message up on the screen because the parental controls allowed you to do this. if you feel you need to go to this website, go see daddy. and
why'd that pop up for Wise and Nerdy? I don't understand.
Well, you know, I have been to your house. So
I was trying to take that, but you have.
So, I still think for parents, and particularly parents of younger kids, there's nothing wrong with parental control software and hardware firewalls that allow you to lock things down. I mean, frankly, we do IT for some schools. And so literally one of our schools, I shut everything down because they said, we'll tell you what we need to whitelist. Otherwise, lock it down. Well, the next day I got about 100 requests for website openings because they didn't realize what they didn't have access to. And that's okay. It's better that way than the other way.
Yeah, I guess
so. And so there's a balance, to be sure, particularly for people at home. There's a balance because you want to not just prevent your kids from seeing bad things or going to bad places, but you want to teach them how to avoid those things too later on. And just by putting up a gate, great, but that teaches them nothing. It teaches them that they need to go to Bobby's to go on the good websites.
Right.
So we struck a balance but I would also, now look, I think I'm probably an extreme, but I would get weekly reports from my parental control software saying, where did they attempt to go? And so it would just tell me and I would, you know, and if it was multiple times, I would go to the kids and say, okay, why do you think you need to go here? What is here? And make them tell me. And sometimes it was legit. Sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes it was, I didn't type that in, which in some cases is true because clicking where an ad was.
Sure.
Tries to get them off and yeah. it wouldn't allow it to go anywhere, but still. So communication, it's a big deal, right? So, and then, yeah, just teaching, like, just how about email safety to start with?
Yes. Chat rooms, social safety, like Random Kid says here.
It's Random Kid is absolutely right, but it's all related and it all has to do with open lines of communication with the people that you want to keep safe. Whether it's Kelsey or whether it's Aaron, we want to let them not go to the bad places. We want to keep those for ourselves.
Oh man. But I mean,
box fans only.
There's the saying that once it's posted to the internet, it never goes away. So
Yeah, that's not true. I've tried to find archives of my old shows. I can't find them. They go away.
No, yes, but
that's because they need to have value.
But I mean, how many times have we seen like celebrities post something and then delete it later? But people have already taken tons of screenshots and whatnot, or it's on the Wayback Machine or whatever,
or the dark web, which is a real thing. Whether people want to admit it or realize it or not, it really is.
And so, yeah, just be careful with your interactions because you don't know who's on the other line. Too many people get, they call it catfished, where people pretend to be something they're not in a chat room, in DMs or Discord or whatever type of chat room you're talking about. AOL Messenger, of course. Kurt.
What year is this?
That's why I mentioned it, just for you, Kurt. Don't tell people things about that you don't know, especially things about your personal life. Like, they don't need to know what school you go to. They don't need to know like anything about your personal life, because they're trying to find information about you, and it very well could be they want to kidnap you or something else. You never know. You never know what some crazy person is trying to do with the information that you're giving them. And so like I heard a story recently of a lady who she pulled her kids out of school and started homeschooling them, not because she wanted to homeschool them or the school was bad or anything like that. It's because her daughter had talked to somebody online and given them sufficient information to know like where they went to school, what their extracurricular activities were, and give them a rough idea of their schedule. And she's like, that's not good. They know way too much. This is a kidnapping risk. You are coming home and you are staying home for school. So
that seems a little extreme, but I don't know the rest of that story.
So you guys are both on Facebook, right? I know, Charles, you're not as active on Facebook. Actually, you both, I don't know that I see a whole lot from you. But
Right.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, but I have my account locked down so that only friends can see my posts. And I have it also locked down to where I can't receive friend requests from anyone who doesn't have a friend in common.
Okay, that's great. But one of the things that comes up on Facebook a lot is those quizzes, the like, particularly things like which character are you, quizzes, and those math problems where there's the multiple parentheses and it's like people argue about what the right answer is because they don't know PEMDAS. But but regardless, all of that largely is done to collect marketing information. They want to know, like, for example, the math problems give a rudimentary idea of the level of education of people. So there's that.
There's a lot of idiots in those chats.
No question. But those guys may or may not be targeted depending on what needs to happen. You know, the which character, which Disney princess are you quiz, those things that happen.
Merida.
Of course. No
hesitation.
Yeah. Come on. Those are even worse because people usually don't click on those quizzes unless they're interested in the subject matter to begin with.
Right.
And so guess who gets more Disney princess ads now?
Yeah.
Particularly for Brave, Charles McFall.
You cannot go wrong with Brave. Great movie, great video game. It's good stuff.
I've never played the video game, so I'll have to take your word for it.
So, it's the Wild West out there. Now, luckily, kids are a little bit more savvy nowadays because they, through look, I would have done the same thing too. Just click on something and go, oh, that's wrong. And don't ever do that again. they know what's possible out there way more than we did when we were young.
Yeah. The one thing I did forget to mention, if you have younger kids, I tell you, the Amazon kid fire, you get a fire tablet for like $50 or $100, depending on you with the little ad or not on the screen. All right. So it might be a little bit more now. When I bought it for my kids, it was 50. I think it's still under $100 for the ad supported version.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called now, but there is an app that comes native on that tablet by Amazon. And it's for kids. It's to let you lock down your kids' stuff. And they do sell you one that lets you have access as a subscription, but you can get it for free. And we did the free one. And I was able to pick out pretty much any game I wanted for them. And I could do the Facebook. There's a Facebook Messenger for kids, specifically using the Facebook architecture, but super secure, and letting your kid talk to other kids. And you're talking about how you get reports, Kurt, about what they did. That I got tons of reports of who tried to talk to my kids, who they were talking to, how much time they're on, which wasn't much, because trying to explain to another parent who doesn't care, right? They give their kid a phone at 8 years old and they don't care, and trying to explain to them, say, hey, as a parent, you need to set this up with your Facebook page. Then you have to have this QR code, this special, really long code to connect the two. And then you got to hit approve. So now our kids can talk to each other. He's like, yeah, I don't want to bother. But it was really
something.
Cool.
I heard something the other day about giving your kid a cell phone and how a lot of people are like, oh, it's giving your kid access to the world, you know, because if they're on the internet then. The person had said, what I heard was, they flipped it around. It gives the world access to your kid.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing. I think, Joe, you started off with, you want to be safe on the internet, just unplug your computer.
Roll that dice.
Daddy, tell me a story.
All right, Bobby. I'll tell you a story. You pull up a chair. This story is about how my Papa NASCAR had a tow truck, and he towed trucks or something. What did he do, Joe?
So this was actually before I was born, so I only heard the story secondhand. But there was one story that my dad told me. He was driving the tow truck. He was towing someone's car away, and a guy kept cutting him off. He was on the highway, and so finally, you know, because the guy was basically trying to force him off the road, my dad pulled over to confront him.
Of course he did.
And he went to confront him, and the guy whipped a metal chain and smacked him in the head and knocked him out. I don't actually know if they took their car back or whatever, but he woke up with blood stain on the back of his bald head and a concussion. And yeah.
Where the heck was the Bobcat in all this?
I mean, I did not expect your dad to get knocked out. That is very disappointing, sir.
I just figured your family kept a long line of mountain lions.
So that was one of the
so did your daddy get his Mormon biker gang and go kill this guy, or what happened?
No. I actually don't know what happened after that. He just told me that he got, like, because he was I asked him about a scar on the back of his head. And so,
just hit it on a cabinet that was too low, but that's the story he tells you.
Oh, he constantly hit his head on cabinets. And because he was bald, he didn't have that hair cushion at all. And so he wore a lot of hats because he was always hitting his head. But the other story,
most people switch to helmets after a while.
Look, on a side note though, hold on, shut up. My phone's talking. It's looking something up. Side note. Have you ever been in one of those 1980 showers that had the sliding shower door, but it's on the double tracks? And when you go to get out, you catch the top of your head on that double metal freaking cover from Hades?
Yeah.
No. Short, I'm way too suck, short. Kurt.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
I've nicked it a tiny bit, but
you know, man,
you've got what, eight? You're 8 inches taller than me?
Something like that.
Because how tall are you? You're like 6'4", right? You're like 6'8", right?
Yeah, 6'7". 6'4". That's funny. My He's cart's like, barely 5'4".
So you're 6'8"?
I'm 5'8".
7!
You're almost a foot taller than Kurt and I then. But no, the you other story. Here,
I've got 8 inches on Joe.
Let's move on. Roll that dice.
Oh yeah. Why? Why is that the thing that stopped the show? All right. So second story about Papa NASCAR.
Again, the tow truck. There was a job that a bunch of the tow people in the area, they kept turning down because the person that they were trying to repossess from kept pulling guns on tow trucks. And so my dad went ahead and took the job, and had a Colt at his waistband as he was going to get it. And so he's hooking up the car and, to his tow truck, and he hears pow, pow. So he gets up, pulls out his gun, looks around, only to find out it was a car that had backfired.
I don't know, maybe acorn hit his roof.
But at that point, he didn't even bother unhooking the brake line or transmission or anything, and he just floored it and just gone. He trashed that car, but he repossessed it.
Wonder what them Duke boys are up to now.
I do want to give a shout out. What I was looking up was to make sure I got the TikTok channel correct. Everything Auto Towing in Gatlinburg. They make some really great digital content. They have long form videos on YouTube and the short form, of course, on TikTok. And they just tow vehicles from parking lots in Gatlinburg sometimes it's a stuck vehicle, sometimes it, but they're just the nicest people. And they make some great commentary, and they're never mean to people, but there's some interesting stories, and it's almost everyone they post, they're parked, wherever they're towing is parked like in front of the sign that says no parking. So yeah, it's fun. Check them out.
Yeah. I can't remember which, this is a bit of a tangent, but I can't remember which company, but there was one of the automotive companies filed a patent for a car that could repossess itself. With the auto driving,
yeah,
that they can connect to the car and you're behind on your payments and it will it will drive itself back to the closest dealership or whatever.
This segment is known as how not to influence people to buy an electric car.
That's true. You know, I'm about to get off on a tangent of people hiding cars when they know they're behind on payments, but we're not going to do that. What are we going to do, Bob?
Roll that dice.
Oh, right.
Time for a commercial break.
That's not the one we wanted. I'm going to play my own.
A commercial break would be good right now.
we got some new segments that I've introduced. We haven't hit any of them yet, so I wanted to play one of them.
Well, you played one of them, all right. Is that Devo who said that one in?
Devo's like, yeah. But he's trying to be Mojo Jojo from Powerpuff Girls.
I thought he's like a Wish version of Cookie Monster. If you like Wish versions of things, check out this podcast, Wise and Nerdy. Patreon.com/wise_and_nerdy. This one's way slower than I remember it being.
And it's quiet. At least on mine.
What podcast are you the Wish version of? I don't know.
Joe Rogan. The Joe Rogan podcast.
I thought Joe Rogan too.
Joe Rogan.
That didn't even work. That's all I can think of too, is Joe Rogan. Oh, this is better. Breathe in. Breathe out. All right, there you go. There's the dad joke of the night. Kurt, should they call us?
They should call us. You can call us by leaving a speak pipe at wiseandnerdy.com/calldad. That's wise, the letter N, another letter N, erdy.com/calldad. Call now, and we will play it sometime in the next
few weeks. Call your daddy and leave a voicemail.
Call your daddy. Leave a voicemail. wiseandnerdy.com/calldad.
Two other professionals that can get it right. Kurt's just grando tonight, wandering through. Oh,
that's right. wiseandnerdy.com/calldad.
Roll the dice. We need to save that on a button. Roll the dice.
What are you nerding out about now?
I like all three of these. I like all three of these.
I'm hoping that yours is actually what happened.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
We can't talk about those things. So I'll jump on mine. Mine's quick. I did a double feature on Monday, meaning that I used two passes to go see a film. But I saw the AMC Screen Unseen, and man, they're kicking my butt this month. Every Monday, they're putting one out. And this past Monday was rated R, and that's all, of course, we knew. And Aaron and I, we're addicted to things now until they ruin it somehow. Hopefully they won't. I think AMC's doing a great job with it, but unless something happens, this is our jam. Every Monday that they put one up, we'll go see it unless it's a horror film because we just don't care. We walked in, and Aaron likes to guess what the movie is. So we kind of looked and made our bets and this and that. No, I didn't really have a good guess. I said I hoped it was Civil War, which by A24 films, I wanted to see that. It's just on the cusp of it could have been Civil War, so that was my bet. Hers was there's a golf movie coming out based on true story, which is more likely because a lot of these things are based on true stories and those kind of things. And so the credits, as we always do, they started to come up, and it was Bleecker Street, I think, who produced this film. And it came up. She's like, "Oh, it's the golf movie." I'm like, you're so proud of yourself, aren't you? She's like, "Yeah, I'm so happy." And we're whispering, but she's like, "Yeah, but she's so proud of herself." And then it went in 2016. We discovered this from the Winston Churchill Falls. Went, "Oh, it's the dirty film," because I couldn't think of what the movie was. It is the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which my mind translated to Dirty Dozen. That's not the Dirty Dozen movie. So all I could get out was it's the dirty film.
The dirty film.
But let me tell you, it has some words. It is super violent. It's a Guy Ritchie film, so it is super violent. I loved every second of it. It is so good. The cast melded together so well that halfway through, I'm like, I could watch. I just forgot I'm watching a film. I'm just absorbed in this thing, and they're doing so great, and the characters are so real to each other. And I was like, I could watch like a franchise. I went, it's based on true story. There's no franchise. This is it. This is all we're getting. And it was good, though. But, I highly... Charles likes dirty films.
Confirm.
It is very much. It's if you can get. I mean, I'm not kidding about the violence. It's not like it's. What was that Quentin Tarantino film about hunting Nazis?
Dumbo.
Never mind. I can't. Or so many good jokes here, but I think I'll get in trouble.
Or Inglourious Bastards.
That's the one. That's the one.
So sorry, Joe was the title.
Yes, I know.
Joe is the title. Why is that in your head? Joe is the title.
Inglourious.
Blip, blip. All right. Inglourious Dumbo. Anyway, so that one is violent in the sense of lots of blood and kind of. Over top. This is more violent in the it's not kung fu. There's no kung fu, but in that kind of style of fighting where it's gonna be violent, but it's not like blood everywhere. And yeah.
So, well, It's Guy Ritchie. I mean, that's his level of violence.
Lost Octopus
Smoke. And Quentin Tarantino is way more gratuitous.
Yeah.
That blood for this Quentin Tarantino would do the blood splatter on the camera thing.
Right.
And yeah, that's not Guy Ritchie. Guy Ritchie is just very high action, high violence, but yeah.
Now, gentlemen, I don't know if I recommend taking your wife to this. Because Henry Cavill had such a great time. Like, they're supposed to be. Dumbo? Yes, we're still on Dumbo. So, no, the Ungentlemanly Warfare thing. Henry Cavill, these guys are killers. Man, he's having such a fun time, this and that, the other. I'm like, man, he looked like he had a blast. My wife's never really cared for him. He's like, yeah, he's fine, Superman. Yeah, she liked him better in he's the bad guy in the Tom Cruise film.
Oh, yeah, one of the Mission Impossible movies. Thank you.
Is that the one where he cocks his arms?
Yep.
Like they're guns?
Yep, that's the one. But she like, we came out of this film about an hour later. She goes, I kind of think Henry Cavill's cute now. I'm like, what? He's not quite like Idris Elba, but I think he's on my cute list. And I was like, I hate you so much. Let me go look at my whole bunch of women to talk about. Yeah. So now I don't know if I recommend you taking your wife to this one.
I would love to see a buddy cop movie with Idris Elba and Henry Cavill.
Mm. Oh, that'd be good. All right, so let me wrap mine up. So
Kurt's just trying to wrap his head around it.
How about Road to, they could do a Road 2 film. Road 2 something.
Can you imagine if they rebooted that series of films?
No. But you have different great comedy duos. Like I want
Different topic.
I was talking about I would like to try to squeeze in Ghostbusters. So I'm not a huge fan, but I do enjoy watching those on the big screen. They're fun. I like Paul Rudd. I like the continuance of the series, not the new series. It's a continuance of the series. And you know, if I missed it, it'd be okay. But she's like, well, we still have another pass. You want to try tonight? And sure enough, about 30 minutes after our movie ended, the last showing of Ghostbusters at night was starting. So at 9:45, we went and saw Ghostbusters. It was fun. It was not worth staying up that late to watch it again. Because she kind of fell asleep on my arm. I was getting really tired. But it is enjoyable. It's very Ghostbusters.
How did you like Afterlife? The first.
I loved Afterlife.
I did too. So, some of our mutual friends didn't care for it, but I loved it. It hit me in the feels. It was the Ghostbusters I needed. I thought it was great. And
I haven't actually seen it yet.
Oh, Joe, you like the original Ghostbusters, right? Okay.
Slight note. Afterlife felt like its own thing. It is a little bit darker, a little bit heavier, but then they really did a lot of great fan service without being over the top to do fan service. And I loved it. A little bit cheesy at the end, which is Ghostbusters, right? Very kind of little cheesy, fun. I felt like this one was in a good way, over the top connected to Ghostbusters 2. Like they went extra hard on Frozen Empire to say, no, this is fan service. This is a continuance of that for sure. So not quite as dark, but still a lot of fun.
Cool.
And just for Random Kid, the new Roadhouse is not Roadhouse, but I do recommend it. If you go, hey, you got to understand, they just had the name Dalton, and they had the name of the Roadhouse, and it's fighting. That's really all it is. But that slap fight, so good.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I had so much fun watching that movie, but it was not Roadhouse. Yeah. And if it was, they would have added a couple key things, mm-hmm. and they didn't. Like,
not great.
Honestly, yeah. I don't even care. I don't even care. This is a spoiler. I don't care. I don't care because you know why? I'm old. I don't care. So they should have had the line, "Be nice, unless it's time to not be nice."
Right.
And they didn't do that. And that was a missed opportunity.
No, I think I know why. The third thing. So they had, it's not even the same setting, right? But they had the name and the bar. The third thing they had was a moral. So if you really think about it, the first Roadhouse, it was in the age of bringing more peaceful thinking to stuff and kindness. And that was kind of the moral, that be nice. I've quoted all the time. That is my number one rule of leadership. Be nice until it's time to not be nice. And you see how he's creating a change there. There's a moral in this one too, because he was talking about the monster and what he's afraid of, what comes next. So it's kind of a new, I think it kind of took the same idea of let's talk about something that's challenging people right now, and they did what was challenging people today.
Sure, that's it. Fine. That's I will say, Conor McGregor, way better bad guy.
Oh yeah,
way better bad guy. It was so good.
Oh my, he was a leprechaun on steroids. It was weird.
I only had a I expected a couple of the key Roadhouse tropes, like the one shot kill from the first movie.
Yep.
I expected not that same thing, but a similar thing, and it didn't happen, and that's okay. It just showed me that they weren't really trying to remake it. They were just trying to do their own thing.
It was like Miami Vice, or 18. Yeah, they kind of did their own little thing with it. Yeah,
it didn't need to be called Roadhouse.
I love how they even played on that. It's the Roadhouse, but it's not the Roadhouse. Yeah. Favorite line in the whole thing, and it's out of context. If you want to, you got to get watching in the context. Who taught you shapes? I don't know why that cracked me up.
The one thing they should have done had a training montage with the other bouncers in the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they should have done that. Montage
would have been good. Yeah,
they should have done that. But otherwise, I was completely happy. It was just a fun movie, and it was fine. It was fine.
Good actors. So, there's some good actors in it.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's mine. Next,
Joe.
All right. So the new season of My Hero Academia is coming out next month. And so for the past couple of months, I've been rewatching the entire series. It is fantastic. I just wish that it wasn't like it, where you find to stream it is all over the place if you don't have Crunchyroll. Like, a couple of seasons are on Netflix. Gotcha. Some of the seasons are on Hulu. And I've run into that issue with some other things, too. Like, I've recently been rewatching Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Netflix. They don't have all of the seasons on Netflix.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember how many seasons they've got, but they're missing like the last two seasons or something like that. And so I hate it when stuff gets split up like that. And so, yeah, because I haven't actually ever watched all of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And I think that Netflix might just have the seasons I've already watched. But I started watching them not knowing that. And then my wife watched it and she got to the end. She's like, oh, they don't have all the seasons. I'm like, oh, shoot.
I'll bet you anything it's a Peacock thing.
Probably. And it's always Peacock.
Oh, yeah. Brooklyn Nine-Nine's jerks. Peacock, yeah.
I did catch the whole series again after it finished.
Peacock seems to be absorbing sitcoms, the Office, Parks and Rec, all that.
You know, all the NBC.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
But anyway, My Hero Academia. If you have not tried it, it is fantastic, so good. I don't think you've tried it at all yet, Charles. You would like it.
I honestly keep forgetting.
See, My Hero Academia is, other than Demon Slayer is number two, but not in what I enjoyed more. That's not what I'm saying. My Hero Academia was the first anime that I could watch, keep going with, and keep watching because it kept my interest.
Why did they have that and My Hero Academia Two Heroes?
That's a movie.
That's a movie.
Okay. Yeah. So I haven't finished the original seasons
of
My Hero Academia, so I need to go back and finish those before the new season hits. But it's a superhero anime. And look, some of the things are weirdly
anime.
not just that. Yes, but. Look, the most powerful superhero in the universe is named All Might.
It's true.
I mean, it's just like, come on, at least try.
it does get kind of cringy on the hero names. Like one of the, I think he's number three or number four hero is named Best Genist. And his power is that he can control denim.
So that is the other thing that's really cool about that series is they take the whole superhero thing and they flip it all around going, hey, we've never seen this in a comic book before. Let's do this. And like, who's going to do Best Genist? You know, and even All Might, the most powerful, like the Superman kind of analog, even him with his powers is way different than Superman. It's really creative in the way that they handle all that. And some of them are like, if mutations were real and people had useless powers, yeah, it's in there.
Oh yeah. Like the main character, his mom, her power, it never shows it, but she mentions it in one episode that she can levitate small objects. And that's it. Like, that's the extent. She can't do anything big, just small objects she can levitate. One of the characters in his class, because he goes to school, he's in a school for heroes. One of the characters in his class can shoot a laser out of his belly button. Like, there are some really weird powers, but it is awesome.
It's really good. It's fun. It's just fun. So I saw the new season's coming, and so I figured now I got to go finish watching. So
yeah, good stuff. My wife popped in. Only four seasons are on Netflix. I'm pretty sure there's seven seasons right now, and the eighth season is what's coming out. And then there's three movies, I want to say. I think I've only seen one of them, because most the movies aren't they're extra. They're not canon. They're not part of the manga or anything like that. So many anime that I've watched have an abundance of filler episodes that have no impact on the story. And there are times where I'm just like, I'm just going to skip all that. Like, years back, I rewatched Naruto, and like 55% of the episodes are filler. And so I watched it and skipped all of the filler. Like, so there's technically two different shows for Naruto that have seasons each. So there's Naruto and Naruto Shippuden. There's like a 3-year time gap between them. The Naruto series, the last like two seasons are 100% filler and can be skipped. So I'll Google what are the filler episodes, and I skipped it on my rewatch. So
awesome. So what are you current nerding out about, Kurt?
X-Men 97 hit Disney Plus 5 weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh my God, so good.
I'm just gonna say right now, I can't recommend this enough. If you were at all a fan, even a fair weather fan of the X-Men series from the 90s, the X-Men animated series of the 90s, not only is this an amazing follow-up, it's better. Better. Yeah. The animation's better because technology is better. Cool, whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, Touch is so right on the nose with that nostalgia.
It's doing exactly what I hoped it was going to do, which was, okay, fine, keep that same dynamic from the 90s and then give us today's writing sensibilities. And because cartoon writing is so much better than it used to be. And they not only did that, they are killing it. And speaking of that, so I'm not going to give spoilers on this, because while I don't care about spoilers, a lot of people might, and we're right in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Episode 5 hit yesterday. Episode 5 might be the best X-Men animated series from old or new ever.
And there are some deep episodes in the first season.
See, And I remember literally running home from school to watch Spider-Man and X-Men after school.
This is better.
All right, Joe, let me tell you. This is not spoilery. We've actually mentioned it on the show because you both said, or actually, I think it might have been the Patreon stuff, but you both said, that's in the previews. But I didn't watch previews. You know, I don't watch that stuff. So it got me. As in the first episode, there's a Sentinel attack, and Gambit jumps on the back of Wolverine and charges Wolverine's claws, and then I think it's Colossus throws Wolverine up there and just slices the head clean off and explodes. It is amazing. I'm like, I'm watching it. I was like, dude, out loud. Then I watched the second episode because I'd waited till the first two came out just because I forgot. And so I watched the second episode. I don't remember the moment, and I wouldn't want to spoil it anyway, but there's a moment in the second episode saying, just, oh my God, I just expressed out loud, holy crap, or whatever. And yeah, they took where the first series started and went hard and deep. You like deep stories and hard topics and some more adult themes, like mentally, you know, challenging your idea of the world themes. And they just cleanly and easily brought it into today's society. And it's, dude, is she gonna get the mojo back? Is he dead? There's so many things we can't talk about.
And yeah, what is yeah, up there's with- there's a lot going on.
Machine. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And one of the cool
and
things
politics
is,
and oh my goodness.
They're also revealing things through the animation that were things that happened in the original series that you didn't even realize they were doing. So, and this is a minor spoiler, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So, if you're familiar with Jean Grey and Madeline Pryor.
Yeah.
Madeline Pryor, from the comics was, created as basically a clone-ish of Jean Grey. Okay. Cool. Whatever. In the old series and in the new series, they differentiated between the two of them by making Jean Grey have a ponytail all the time and making Madeline Pryor have her hair down all the time. And nobody talked about it and nobody knew it until this season hit. And it was like, wait a minute. And you go back and you look at some of the old episodes. Yep. Yep. And then they talked to one of the old writers, and they said, yeah, we did that on purpose back in the 90s.
And everybody like, caught it.
That's well, like and it. We didn't have the internet to the level we have it now. That's so true. People weren't doing deep dives.
Yeah, because if it was released now, people would pinpoint it. It'd be on Reddit. It'd be like, oh, did you guys notice that this happened? Yeah.
And so Random Kid says the old cartoon did a crossover with Spider-Man, so clearly we need a follow-up season of Spider-Man 2. They also did a crossover with the Iron Man animated series as well. And yes, we do. And so what will probably happen, if I know Disney, and I'm pretty sure I got a good handle on them now, if X-Men does as well as it looks like it's doing, and I think Rotten Tomatoes had it like 98% like for the series so far. But if it keeps being this successful, you know they're going to reboot all those things. Why not?
I'm pretty sure that it's only the film rights for Spider-Man that they don't have. I think they have
everything.
Well, I don't know if they've got, because they've got some animated Spider-Man stuff that's new.
So the old animated stuff, the animated Spider-Man, the animated series, Spider-Man, the... whatever they call the new adventures of whatever. That was all Fox. That was all owned by Fox. And so Disney has all that now, okay. Which is why they were able to do the X-Men animated series as easily, because they got it back. It's all part of the same thing.
Well, yeah, but Fox also owned the rights to X-Men for the film.
But they own the rights to the animation. The animated series as well. So that was the difference. That Iron Man's Iron Man, but
I wonder where that line is drawn, because obviously like Spider-Verse with Miles Morales is animated.
Okay, that's Sony, and Sony definitely almost came to that same brink, and we were going to have everything, but then because
well, they were offered everything and turned it down.
Yeah, but because Marvel did Spider-Man so well in the thing, and they came to that deal. It took forever to come to that deal, but Sony kept the rights to Spider-Man live action. I don't know about animated series. I have no idea, but live action because basically Marvel did too good at what they do.
And Joe, there's likely a difference in Sony can do Spider-Man animated films, but maybe not a TV series.
And it's in conjunction with Marvel, so we're not quite sure.
Right, and it is a partnership now at this point. Now, yeah. I mean, at least Marvel with the Spider-Verse stuff, I think, is kind of taking a backseat, going, Sony's doing a great job. We don't need to worry about this.
Yeah.
Unlike the live-action Spider-Verse.
The live action Spider-Man movies.
No, those are fine because but Marvel's involved.
Yeah, I mean, I find Venom fun, but it's I enjoyed these movies because I just remember seeing the crap that we grew up with. But they are subpar. If Marvel's the par, they are definitely subpar with you talking about Morbius and Venom and Carnage and
And Madam Web tanked hard.
My daughter wouldn't see that. She said it was the worst.
I've heard that Madam Web is worse than Morbius. And honestly, I think I've seen Morbius twice because I wanted to give it a shot. I can't tell you anything that happens.
I can't bring myself to even give it a shot. I tried the Venom ones. The first one was all right. The second one, meh.
I enjoyed both the Venoms. Morbius, I watched my vampire thing.
Craven
is right there.
Does he actually say it's Morbin time?
No, does not say it's Morbin time. That'd be hilarious. It's Morbin time.
People on the internet made that up because it was so bad.
Yeah.
And then Sony said, oh, cool. We're getting a lot of heat for this It's Morbin Time thing. So let's re-release it in the theaters.
Yep. And it actually did okay, right? I thought people actually went and saw it some more.
Maybe one guy did, ironically.
Maybe one guy.
he was there by himself, yeah. And he doing a TikTok. It's Morbin Time, baby!
All right. So I need to counsel here tonight. And I can tell you, this is definitely not a generational thing because the person who said this to me today is older than I am. Life's been hard on him, so I couldn't really tell you how old he is. But he's had some issues back and forth. But this, what do you guys think about, and I almost set up the story, but the question is, what do you think about, I didn't sign up for this. As in a professional standard. Yeah, do your thing, Kurt. But as a professional standard, right? When I'm hired to do a job, I didn't sign up for this. And he's not the first person to say it. He's the first person that pushed me way too far, and I fired him for it today. I run a ambulance company. What we do is we move patients. This is oversimplification, but we're non-emergency. We move patients. And if we don't move them, most of the time they will die. Now, no, it's not 911. It is a thing called dialysis, which has to do with your kidneys. And if you do not, at the point that we get the patient, because they have to be needing a stretcher, so we get them more towards the end of life. By the time we get the patient, if they don't go, it could take up to 4 weeks. It could be a week. But if they don't go get their treatment, they will die because it's how you cleanse the body, and their kidneys aren't cleansing the body. So that's just to give you some context. We move patients. However, that's not the only way we move patients. We also work with the hospitals and nursing homes and try to move people, and that's called IFT, interfacility transports. Now, Joe, I would hope you'd ask a question everybody else would ask. What's the difference?
What is the difference?
Great question, Joe. There's no difference. You literally, in any call, even in 911, you get the call. Now, 911, you sit around and wait for the tones to drop, for somebody to dial, right? But in the non-emergency world, the only difference is we know the call's coming. We got the call ahead of time. So you come in to work, you clock in, you know you're going to be here for so many hours, and you're going to move patients. And you go to where the patient is, you pick them up, you put them on your ambulance, you take them to where they're going, you drop them off. That's 911. That's dialysis. That's IFT. That's everything. You move patients. There's no difference. We don't do 911, so we don't have the gunshots and the craziness and all that stuff. Ours is very scheduled. So you know, if I schedule you at 7 a.m. and you're supposed to be off by 7 p.m. because we average 10 to 12-hour days, that you know within reason you'll be off by 7 p.m. or earlier. That's the only convenience we can give you. Everything else is sometimes the patients get off 2 hours late because they took themselves off their treatment three times to poop. And then you just have to wait for the treatment to start back up and all this other stuff. So it's a human factor. Now, that's it in a nutshell. Now, I didn't sign up for this. So today, we're as a business, we're here to make money, right? We can all agree for-profit businesses are doing what? Have to make a profit, which is we eat what we kill. We don't have any support from the government. We don't have magic money coming in. If we don't move patients, we don't get paid, which means I can't pay you. So we are doing all right, but we're trying to change up some of our business model and get more into the nursing homes and the hospitals to put up our gaps. So dialysis is a long treatment. You take somebody in the morning, they take 3 to 4 hours, then you take them home. So we stack a couple of patients, but no matter how many you stack, there's a window of time where your ambulance is not doing anything. Your people aren't doing anything. And it can be up to 2 to 3 hours. Sometimes they're sitting around at the base or whatever. So we try to slide in a discharge or two, other moving patients essentially. That can take 30 to 40 minutes at max. You know, you go in, take them home, those kind of things. We don't try to overwork them. We definitely try to say, hey, if we can be profitable with these patients, how much better can we do filling in this 3-hour gap and still giving you some downtime?
And maximizing your profits.
There you go. And we're profit sharing. So it's not even a greed thing. It's like the more money we get, the better we pay our people, the better equipment we get. We share the wealth all the way around. And some people just don't have that idea. So today we asked this guy, said, hey, can you take this call? And he said, nope, I know. And my manager, like the person underneath me, the regional director, who is two levels over him, was the one asking him. And he told her, nope. Not going to do it. He's like, or he goes, is it IFT, which is a transport from a hospital home in this case? And she's like, yeah. He goes, nope, not going to do it. She's like, I'm sorry, what? She goes, yeah, no, I told you I don't like this. I'm not doing it. And she goes, oh, you're serious? He goes, yes. And so they had a little talk, and then she came in to get me. And I came out there and said, hey, man, I need you to take this call. He immediately gets angry, gets mad, all this stuff's going on. I'm going to drag out the whole story because I want to get to the point. He said a couple times, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for dialysis. I'm like, no, you signed up to move patients. This is what we do here. I said, did you not get to sit down and rest? Yeah, I got to rest. Did you get to eat your lunch? Yeah, I got to eat your lunch. So what's the problem? I've got a job to do. It's like, yeah, your job is to do what I tell you to. I sign your checks. I mean, I hate pulling out that line, but it kind of came down to it. It's like, I'm your supervisor. I literally tell you what to do. So I'm telling you all this. But he kept saying, I didn't sign up for this. I've had a few people actually quit on us or get fired because that's what they say. I don't understand that mindset. I want to know if you guys have any insights on this. I didn't sign up for this mindset of, did you get whatever training, whatever skills you needed to take this job? And I'm trying to make it general so everybody can relate. So yeah, schooling, tech school, licensure, whatever it is, life taught you how to do your job. So yeah, you put in the experience of time and you got the training and knowledge. Did you apply for this job? Yes. Did you agree to accept the paycheck that I give you? Yes. What part are you not signing up for? Do you guys understand that concept at all? When somebody in your work, Kurt, with the tech support, or Joe with you with the GUIs and the coding or whatever you have to do? Oh, no, I didn't sign up for that. I can't do that.
There's definitely times where you could be asked to do things beyond the scope of your position. But your instance is definitely not one of them.
Right, because it's all licensure. I know what you're saying, position being you're in a department, you might be asked to work in a different department. But Joe, yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. Minus it's not one of those. It'd be like asking you to go back to your old apartment and help with that. That's within your scope. You know how to do that job. It's not like I'm asking you to go be the accountant and figure out where we're missing $1 million. Right? Because that would not be what you signed up for, right?
Correct.
Can I give an example of something that I'm not saying this happens, Joe, because I don't know. You guys probably don't do box software or anything like that, right?
Yeah, we have some box software that we use.
All right, great.
That we support locally. Oh.
Or develop, rather.
We do, to a certain extent, yeah.
All right, just for the example.
Yeah.
So if your bosses, Joe, said, hey, we have to get this product out by June 1st. And what that means is, because we're going to be cutting it so tight, we're going to need to pull people down to the warehouse to help us pack the product up and load it onto the truck to get it to the distributors. Would you say that is not that's not what I signed up for, or would you help out because that's good for the company?
It depends on the company, but I'm that guy that a lot of times.
It completely depends on the company. But, no question about it.
Yeah.
But the reason I ask is because that is outside the scope of your core job.
Right.
But if you have very loyal employees, and I'm not saying you're not loyal, Joe. I'm making up a scenario.
I work from home, so they better not be asking me that.
Okay. No, but that's so that is a different decision point, right? If they said, hey, we know that you work from home, but we need you to come to the home office to help us ship this stuff out. That's a way different ask than if you were sitting in the office and the warehouse is downstairs. Yeah. So, but you might say no, and that's okay. But I'm just, and because I've been in that situation, like when my very first QA job, we basically had to help load software into boxes, tape them up, load the truck, because that's what you did. Because if the company makes money and we make Christmas, then we get bonuses and everybody's happy. So I will say though, on the other side of that, Charles, one of the things that I've seen, and that we deal with in our IT world is when we're interviewing people, like I interviewed somebody today.
Okay.
I said, so here's what your job, what the expectation of your job is going to be. You're going to be doing inventory control. You're going to be taking, inventory and keeping control of the inventory of the hardware equipment and software equipment needed by all of our techs. Now, outside of that, you may be required to go bring hardware to the techs if they're on site at a distant place. You know, if it makes no sense for them to do a giant round trip because we have techs all over the place. And in the case of like if we're installing a heavy server, you might be asked to help load the server onto the rack because some of the servers are heavy. Now that technically is outside the scope, but we try to come up with ways to communicate with them about what is possible. Now, I don't know your situation, Charles, but for the dude who said, I didn't sign up for that, it sounds like, and again, this might be completely wrong, but it sounds like he was like, yeah, I'm really interested in helping dialysis patients. And that's where my core focus is. And you may have said, just understand that our job is we got to move patients, period. He may not have heard you in the way that you intended. He may not have heard that you said, cool, we'll keep that in mind. However, we're going to need you to do other stuff too.
And that's like me saying, I didn't sign up to be on call. I'm not taking a call at 3 a.m. because our servers are down. No. Yeah, no, that's
right.
Did you know
what I got to do?
Was that not part of your job description though? Take on call.
And my company is horrible when it comes to job descriptions.
Okay. So
there's a whole lot that I do that's outside of what was actually written on the job description.
Gotcha. So keep in mind like this, though. So here's what actually happened today. So they had at least 3 hours before they had to go get their last patient. They'd already been done with their patient before that for about 30, 40 minutes. They had time to go through a drive-through or go in. I didn't ask. But they had fast food that they were finishing up eating. So they had time to go get it after dropping off their patient, get back here, chill out, eat their entire lunch, and just sit in the recliners. 3 hours. And we're asking them just to drive up to the hospital, grab a patient, take him home. And he kept telling me, I got a job to do. I got a patient to get. It's like, no, I have a patient to get. That's my. I didn't say this to him. I was like, no, everything's mine. Nothing is yours. Secondly, so you're arguing with me that you have a job. You have such a dedication to getting that one patient, which they were still going to get because they had plenty of time to go get it, take that patient home, come back, and still chill out before the patient was ready. You're still going to get that patient. So you're really arguing just to sit here. But here's how he started the conversation, really just fired it off quick. Because like, hey, man, I need you to run this call. He snatched his bag up. I'm not running it. I'm not running the IFT. I mean, he went hot. He went to 10 immediately. Because I'm not, you can't make me. And my brain was just on fire. It was working. So I'm like, no, you're right. I can't make you run the call. I can't send you home. So I need to talk to you about this call. And all he heard was I'm going to send him home. And he kept trying to walk. I mean, it's like he planned it and practiced it. But he kept trying to nail me on. You said this. It's like, you're being insubordinate right now. If you clock out and go home without stopping and talking to me, I'm being very clear, you need to stop running around this bay and talk to me like a human being or do not come back. You will be terminated. Well, then it was, you've already terminated me. We got on the phone with HR, we did all this stuff. But it was really that thought process, I didn't sign up for this. Here's how I equate it. We've all worked some equivalent of a fast food job, right, in our come up in our jobs. So you go, for me, it was Taco Bell. I go, or Chick-fil-A even. I work at Chick-fil-A. So I go, okay, I want to work at Chick-fil-A. They hired me to work at Chick-fil-A. That's the job. You work there. Sometimes you work the registers. Sometimes I was cooking. So, you know, whatever. And, you know, that's every fast food job. So I'm working at Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or Taco Bell, wherever fits your mold there. And they go, hey, all right, cool. It's time to close that store. I need you to go mop the bathrooms. Oh, I didn't sign up for that. I only signed up to work a register. That's a kind of the equivalent of what he was saying.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And that's what he said. I didn't sign up for. And truly the two people in the last 3 months that have had this issue were, I mean, both left horribly. I don't understand. This is, you guys are tech. You can't just, so I only want to do this one line of code. You know that when you go take that various tech job that you're both working in similar kind of fields there, you're going to, even if you don't go pack boxes, you're going to write more than just this one type of code or however it equates to what you're doing. Go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah. I think that one of the things that and again, I don't know how you interview people and I don't know how you've talked to people. But one of the things you might want to consider is when you're interviewing people saying, hey, this is going to be your core job, but just understand that at any given moment, you may be asked to do other things. And just keep it as open as that. And as long as they acknowledge that, then I didn't sign up for this, better be followed by I quit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, because literally in your situation, like today, if that dude said, I'm not doing that, and then my response literally would have been, then I guess you're not working the rest of the day. Have a nice time home.
That was where we were going, and he just kept pushing. I mean, I'd said that, but essentially, I need you to talk, and he just kept pushing. I was like, I did bring it down. I was like, dude, I don't understand. What are you so angry about? He wouldn't even look me in the eye. I was like, what are you so angry about? What? Let's talk. And he just, I don't know. But I came down clear. It's like, I kept trying to focus on everything. Well, you did this and you did this over here and you sent these people home. Yeah. But that's not about this right now. Right now, I'm telling you calmly and clearly, if you refuse this call, you're being insubordinate and you will be terminated. Do you want that? Because I don't want that. I want you to keep your job. Are you going to take this call? And every time I said at least 3 times, and we did it once on the phone with HR. Every time he said, no, I'm not taking the call. It was just that day. But yeah, I can get that. The clarity of things, I tell people now when we interview him, I don't know about his situation, but It honestly, it doesn't matter. If McDonald's decides they're going to sell hot dogs, you can't say, oh, I didn't sign up for this. I'm not cooking hot dogs. Well, okay. At the end of the day, I guess what you're saying too, Kurt, at the end of the day, and this is what a fire chief told me, and it just kind of locked in. When you work for somebody else, no matter how you feel, at the end of the day, it comes down to when they tell you to do something, you've got two choices. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Or it's been great working here. I quit. Which is, but you were just saying it. Saying go.
Yeah. I mean, there is something to be said about expectations, though, right? I mean, for example,
expectations aren't real, you should quit, right?
Yeah, but if they're not communicated, if the possibilities aren't communicated, like I'll give you a for instance. We on occasion run cabling if our cabling guy isn't around, right? And so I have a guy that says, I can't go up ladders. I just can't because like over 3 feet off the ground, I get vertigo and I will fall. If I were to say, yeah, sorry about that, but we need you to do this.
Right.
Well, that's not fair.
You're actually pushing.
But yes, because that's a more clear cut case. But it's fair, right? And so, but if we said to him during his interview process, oh, by the way, you may need to climb as much as an 8-foot ladder in order to be able to do this job on occasion,
right?
Then he could say, oh, I can't. So then it's on us to either make accommodations or say, yeah you're not the right fit for the
situation.
Job.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and you're real. I mean, that's getting into real. I shook my head. Yes, Joe, when you typed, did you download the speak pipes? This is a big yes. I can read and talk at the same time. I got him. You just didn't let the old people talk. All right. Yes, Kurt. It's. Yo, man, we could really, that might be a good talk for another night of getting down into the disclosures versus asking versus clarities. But yeah, if there was a legit reason that somebody could, and I've had that, I've gone to a cruise like, look, y'all are sitting here, I need y'all to go run this call. And they're like, okay, but our patient's supposed to be ready at this time. And legitimately, it's going to take like 45 minutes to get up there, plus we'll probably be late. And I know what they're really doing is trying to get out of the call. But it's also legit. It's like, I look them dead in the eyes. Like, I know what you're doing. I don't like that you're doing it that way. So I need you to be better team players and think about it. But I'll find somebody else to do it. But come on. So, yeah, it is what it is. All right. Good advice all around. And we'd definitely like to hear your thoughts. So hit us up at wiseandnerdy.com/calldad and talk about, hey, this whole I didn't sign up for this or expectations. This could be an ongoing talk that we could bounce back and forth with the speak pipes. And you talk amongst yourselves. Because obviously, Kurt's a little different approach than I have and those kind of things. But yeah, if you got thoughts on it, let us know. What is it? Wiseandnerdy.com/calldad. So we do have a few speak pipes. I'm not really looking forward to all of them, but let's see what happens.
Hey, Charles, I'm a real big fan of the Little River Band.
Okay.
There's a little rhyme there, too. Having a cousin, Ryan Ricks, being a member of one of the most iconic bands from the 70s, and that is a really cool thing. So, how does it feel living in the shadow of such talent? I mean, Joe and Kurt, they obviously help you. They're very talented, and they do prop you up. And, well, I mean, I'm not saying you're not talented, but Joe, Kurt, you guys know what I mean. Charles, you are great. And you're all right, but your cousin being the drummer and vocalist, it is pretty spectacular.
It is pretty spectacular. I'm really not looking forward to the rest of these, if that's how we started out.
Charles and I went to one of their concerts back when we were doing the Pokemon Go podcast.
Yeah.
Actually, it was during an event. Wasn't it good during GoFest?
I think it was during GoFest, yeah. He just happened to be coming to Atlanta to play that night when you're here for GoFest or something. So yeah, we went over and he's cool. He's cooler than me right now. Hey, here's another cool one. Loretta Lynn, right? She passed away a year or two ago. He was her backup singer in Nashville, wherever she was, Branson, wherever she was. And for a while, what's that called? I keep wanting to say legacy, but it's not right. Y'all know the words. When you go to Vegas, residency. It's a residency. Okay, for the podcast, they're literally staring at me, holding back laughter because they know the word and they're not saying the word.
But I love this game.
Just go full Britney on us, Charles. Just go full Britney.
When she had residency in.
Shave your head.
Wherever, stop it. Anyway, so he's even cooler because he was her backup singer for many years. Yeah. But you know what? I'm the rock guy of podcasting. He's not as cool as that.
So he's a cousin that actually recognizes you?
Yeah, he actually loves me. He invited me to come to these things. So yeah.
Wow. All right. Good for you.
I hate you guys. Here's another one.
What are a cartoonist's favorite shoes?
No.
Skechers.
Oh, God.
What a sketchy joke.
That was better than both bad dad jokes tonight.
Can deciding Charles's hairstyle be a new Patreon award? No.
Yes. And I will read a sultry bedtime story while he gets shaved.
Oh, no. Here's another one.
What is a banana's favorite yoga pose? The splits.
Oh, no. I didn't see that going. All right. One more.
The recent episode with Joe and Bob. That was a lot of fun, and I'm really sorry that, Kurt, you weren't able to make it. Anyway, so the one part I really found funny and made me laugh was the game called Everyone is John, and my name is John, and so this game, obviously, my namesake would be an interesting game to play as John and everyone else claiming to be John. I find this hard to wrap my head around, and it's yet time very intriguing. And I found it. I'm now going to try to implement it on my own. This was a good one. I'm going to check this one out. And big thanks to Bob for bringing this up. And by the way, the story about the hitchhikers, I can relate to that.
I don't know. I got one like
that. But I'll save that one for another day.
You smell toast right now.
You guys need to watch that up or listen to that episode.
I know. It's in my queue. I just haven't got there yet.
Or just wait until it's posted on the WNN clips. In next week is when those clips are going to start dropping from that episode on WNN clips. So Everyone is John. Bob explained that to me. He's been into
don't ruin the moment, baby. You already told him where to find it. You built up the anticipation. Don't give the milk away for free. Gee, I didn't think I'd have to do that.
What a jerk.
This is not what I signed up for.
So
follow these nerdy dads on social media. Charles at Rock God of Podcasting. Joe at Joseph_Ard. Check out the website, wiseandnerdy.com. And as always, they may not be your father, but they'll always be your daddy.
And B.O. by Kurt at B.O. by Kurt everywhere. Shut up, Mike.
What more? Feed me, Simon.
All hail, King of the Losers!